Well, good evening, everyone. Good to be with you again, this time from South Carolina. Actually sitting down in the chapel all by myself. It kind of feels lonely down here tonight, but praise God. I wanted to touch on a subject that seems to have been coming up a little bit, and it plagues people, and a lot of times people don't even realize it's plaguing them, and that is the subject of unbelief. Now, I want to turn for a moment first to Romans chapter 4, verse 20. And this is referring to Abraham. And we know, I think Rick might have read out of Romans 4 a couple weeks ago or what have you. It's a great chapter. And it talks about how Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, right? And down in verse 20, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, what this in particular is referring to is it's referring to Abraham and the promise that he would have a son at the age of 100 by Sarah, who was at that point 90, and was obviously past the time of childbearing. And I thought it was interesting, you know, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. See, we don't realize that how often the promises of God we stagger at. We don't go forward in them believing, really knowing that they're going to come to pass. And so many of our prayers and like, and I hear it in people all the time, are rarely prayers to God in which they're not standing, how did he refer to it? Strong in faith, giving glory to God. People are hoping that somehow or other it'll come to pass so that they can believe God. And we know from Hebrews 11 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. See, when you choose unbelief, when you choose to look at your capabilities, or better, your incapabilities, you are staggering at the promises of God through unbelief. Nobody understands what it's really like to be you or your circumstance or your situation or any of a number of different excuses that we have, and you don't realize that that is the voice of staggering at the promises of God rather than the voice of faith. Now, Abraham was extraordinarily faithful. It took him a long time to get there. It wasn't something that came naturally to Abraham, just like it does not come naturally to us. And I want to, on the one hand, while focusing on unbelief and the nature of the battle, the rightly dividing the battle, recognizing unbelief for what it is, and it is that which causes us to depart from the living God. Remember, whose faith are we saved by? We are saved by Christ's faith. By whose faith do we do the works of God? By Christ's faith. So when we stagger through unbelief, we are departing from Christ's faith, which is also present with us, folks, because Christ is present with us. And what I want you to see in this is that the Lord, in his extraordinary mercy, his extraordinary grace, has been pardoning us for our unbelief and giving us the opportunity to yet again choose faith, to choose faith and by faith to go forward in accordance with the Word of God, staggering not at his promises, but operating in them day by day. I can tell you, when I was out at the ranch in January when Davey passed, and then in the months that followed, it was an extraordinary blessing to be out at the ranch as the Lord in his grace had mercy upon those of us who are out there, had mercy upon us for our failures, had mercy upon us for these things, did not hold them against us at all. And over the last number of months, he's moved in extraordinary ways to bring us and gather us unto himself, to bring us together as one in him. That work is not yet complete, but I got to tell you, the distance he's brought us in 6 months is breathtaking. It's extraordinary. Now, as the Lord has had me hit the road and come through and first see James down in Georgia, spend a day with him down there and work with him and help him get things together, and then watch over these months as Scott Stevens has flown down on his own nickel to spend his vacation with James and help him with the bus, as Phil and has gone over there and spent time in building a deck and doing cabinetry for him. And now Corey has been there. You've seen as the Lord has moved mightily to rally around a brother who the Lord has put an extraordinary task before. A young man is moving his family out of Georgia to come out to the ranch and has been having him build, which has given him all kinds of knowledge and experience on things, a motorhome from the ground up by converting an old school bus. The old school bus is not built like most motorhomes. It's got all these little rounded edges and all these other things. And so there's been issue after issue after issue, and the Lord has quickened to him and brought people to help him and move mightily to create something that I think will be an extraordinary blessing to his family. But more than that, it will likewise be a blessing to many, as the skills and knowledge and experience and the experience in Christ Jesus of a body coming together to accomplish a purpose in a very quick time frame. And it's been a beautiful thing to behold. I'll be heading down there tomorrow night and look forward, as I know they're in the very much the home stretch now in completing things, as James has to be out of his home at the end of this month. But I spent a day down there with him, and then I went up with Robin, picked Robin up, and we saw in Maryland, we got to see a number of folks, everyone from Maggie and Corey and their children to Mr. Tom and Sue and Maggie's sister and brother and others while we were there. And we were only there for one day, folks. But it was immediately evident upon arrival that the grace of the Lord was present, working in that situation in extraordinary ways to bring to pass a promise that he had given to Maggie and Corey, and an answer to a prayer and a desire that, and it was true of both Maggie and Corey, let me say this, but a mother robbed of her whelps is beside herself until she can recover them safe and sound and be able to care for them. And the Lord moved extraordinarily above and beyond what anyone could ask or think in bringing that to pass. And I come here to South Carolina now, and I get to see Jenna and Nolan whole and with their mother and in an environment that's a blessing to them amongst brethren who love them and who love one another and are growing in these things. And I went up to Connecticut and saw Scott and Gail, and we, you know, look, Scott and Gail were a couple who at one point were on fire and zealous in a manner that would put most of you to shame as far as ever having experienced such zealousness and joy. They were exceedingly joyful. They were precocious children when I first was going down there for years. And it was a wonderful, wonderful rejuvenating experience for me when I was a younger minister. And, you know, things happen sometimes and things kind of don't work out the way they were expecting. And things sometimes get a little ugly and you get lost and you lose your way. But I can tell you in that week that we were there, and I believe in the subsequent time, you really have seen an extraordinary move of the Lord to get things righted and get things reoriented in Him and to rejuvenate and bring new life once again to a couple. And I expect to see extraordinary things going on in the future. And finally, ended up in Vermont. And in Vermont, you know, when I left Vermont, I didn't really know if I'd ever see Vermont again. In many ways, honestly, I didn't really care whether I saw Vermont again. But the fact of the matter is that there was again an extraordinary expression of mercy and grace and redemption that occurred in Vermont that at this moment is yet incomplete. And I look forward to the completeness of that coming to pass. But the Lord has once again reestablished and brought a people together to go forward in Vermont. I share this with you because one of the things we have not realized that has held people back for many, many different years and held people from crossing over and entering into and operating in the kingdom of God has been unbelief. And what I see in that outpouring of grace and mercy amongst the fellowship here is a recognition on people's part that where they have been has not been right. And there's been a hoping yet again. If you look at the verse in Romans 4, and we were in 20, I'm just going to go back up a couple verses. And it says, I'm going to begin with verse 17. And it says, as it is written, this is referring to Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. All right. Abraham, if there was anyone who was in a place where he was not, and yet God was still calling that which was not. Here was a man who had been married for many years to a woman by the name of Sarai, later named Sarah, and had never been able to have a child by her. Never. So much so that Abraham, after like 20 years or the like, was praying and asking God, I mean, was he going to have to make his steward of his household his heir? Because no matter how hard he tried, no matter what, it could, this did not seem to, well, it never came to pass. And so then they staggered and God called Sarah in her weakness to go unto Abraham and say, here, take my maid Hagar and take her to you to wife. And he went in unto her and she bare. And of course, Hagar then and despised her mistress. She despised Sarah. She thought she was better than Sarah because she conceived where Sarah had not. And so she was driven away and came back humbled, but still defiant in many ways. And you saw that when the promise finally came to pass with Isaac, how her son, forget the wording that it is used in the scripture, but basically he came against Isaac And so he was sent away. But Isaac was born of a man and a woman who had no business bearing any children anymore. And so it says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. See, I was preaching the other night or the other morning, I forget which, about how believing God is a choice. That's all it is. It is a choice. There's nothing more to it than that. But what happens is making that choice often brings us face to face with things about ourselves that we don't want to see. For example, with Abraham, it would have been very easy for Abraham to go, but Lord, I'm 100 years old. And look, Sarah, she couldn't bear when she was young. Now she's all dried up. There's no chance. Don't you get it? I don't want her to be disappointed yet again, Lord. I can't bear to see her disappointed yet again, Lord. You know, please, Lord, I love you. It's all right. We won't have a child. But no, that's not what Abraham did. He did not stagger. He did not stagger. He did not justify his previous disappointments. He did not compromise the promise of God at all. Rather, he went forward in faith. And not only was a child conceived, but a child was born. And Sarah, even though she was 90 years old when that child was born, she lived to 127, I believe it was with Sarah. She got to see that child grow up. Abraham, after his wife's death, because God had said he'd be a father of many nations, and all that were in Sarah's womb were two. One was Israel, and the other was Edom, Esau, in the sense that Edom and Esau and Israel came through Isaac. But he was of many nations, so he was the father of the Arab people. He was the father of the Midianites by Keturah, his concubine. He had five more children after Sarah died between the age of 137, I think it was, and like 175 or 187. He had five more children. And those children became nations. It's an extraordinary thing. Nations already existed. Abraham was a sojourner, a stranger, wandering about from place to place, no sure place to lay his head, not found room for himself anywhere. And yet from him who is as good as dead arose many nations. Many nations. And I share this with you because the Lord in his grace and his quickening, I listened to Charlie's testimony from Sunday, and there's a part of me that was pleased and there's a part of me that was a little sad or disappointed because there, to a certain extent, almost seemed a surprise that God would answer he and his wife's prayer and bring them through all the way home precisely in accordance with what he said. Now, in the end, his testimony was right. Where two or more touch and agree on anything in my name, there I am in the midst of them, and I will grant it unto them. His testimony in it was right. Praise the Lord. But that place of knowing before you see a single thing that it's going to come to pass, that it has to come to pass, not because of you, not because of anything about you, But because of him and who he is, and because of his word, that you go forward. And what you're seeing, folks, is the Lord in his mercy and in his grace is yet born with us again and is seeking to establish us in the faith. In the faith that we can go forward. And I share this with you because, yes, it is going to take, in many instances, a hoping against hope. A willingness to cast off everything that is of unbelief that would rise up against you and tell you that I've heard this before, or I'll believe it when I see it, or any of the other things that want to come up. And, you know, I'm just too tired. I'm too saddened. I'm too disappointed. I've tried and I failed. And I just, whatever those things are, to grab a hold of those things, to cast them off, to not let them win, to not let them prevail, to not stagger in unbelief, but to be strong in the faith. And the thing is it says strong in the faith, and he gave glory to God. Why? How's it go? And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. If it had anything to do with Abraham, if this thing that God was going to bring to pass had anything to do with Abraham and any capability Abraham or Sarah had, there was no hope. No hope whatsoever. They were so far past, so far gone, that it was a physical impossibility with them. A physical impossibility. Absolutely no chance. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He considered not a single frailty of his own when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, the things he saw with his natural mind, his natural eyes, with all of his natural senses, the things that he could look at and see and say, it is over. It is hopeless. There is no chance. He considered none of those things. None of them. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and, watch this, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now watch this. And being fully persuaded, that means he knew that this had to come to pass. He knew it. He was not wondering about it. He knew it. Why? Because it was God who had promised, and God was able to perform it. It had nothing to do with Abraham. Nothing to do with Abraham. So there was nothing for him to fear, nothing for him to worry about, nothing for him to doubt, because it had nothing to do with him. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. That is that faith. God said, I don't care what you have done. I don't care about any failure before. I don't care about any of that. I am taking my righteousness and I am imputing it. I am putting it upon you by grace. And I share this with you folks because, see, what I see with the folks and this step that the Lord's seeking to us to take us across now is to get past any care or concern about anything to do with you. Anything to do with you. Absolutely anything to do with you. Because God accomplishing his work in and through you is not reliant on any good thing in you. He already knows that there's no good thing in you but him. And so that's why it's all on his shoulders. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. All he wants you to do is believe him for that. There's nothing more offensive than to doubt God. Nothing more offensive to him than to doubt him. But there's nothing more pleasing to him. Nothing more pleasing to him than for you to believe him and stand in his faith. To such a person, indeed, all things are possible, even greater things than that which Jesus or any man or woman of God we read about in the scripture have done. Nothing. Now, in finishing up here tonight, I want to turn to Philippians chapter 3, and I just want to read to you verse 3 of Philippians chapter 3. And he's writing it in contrast here for a moment to those that were coming in and telling them that they had to do some good thing. In other words, they had to kind of keep the law. And he's warning them to beware of such. And he turns and he says, "For we are the circumcision." Watch that. We are the circumcision. These people over here who come and talk about being circumcised, these people coming over here telling you that you have to do what they're doing, you have to believe, you have to walk after the law as we walk after the law, they aren't the circumcision. But it says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit." It's nothing to do with your flesh. "And rejoice in Christ Jesus." Remember we talk about there is joy in the Lord? See, in Christ Jesus. You stand in Christ Jesus, not in unbelief. You stand in Christ Jesus, not staggering at the promise of God through unbelief. You stand in Christ Jesus and rejoice by faith. By faith in the operation of God, not in anything you do, have done, or will do. "And in Christ Jesus, ye rejoice," and watch this, "and have no confidence in the flesh." No. You know, if we, I hear people say all the time, 110%, 1,000%, all these things, look, it's 100%, folks. But when it's no, it's zero. See, when we stagger not at the promises of God through unbelief, but stand strong in the Lord by faith, giving glory to God, recognizing it has nothing to do with us. Now, Jesus can be lifted high. Jesus can be lifted so all the world can see. And he can draw all men unto him. That's the great leap of faith that he wants us to step out into. Is to have no confidence in the flesh, no confidence in us, our ability to remember, our ability to hear, our ability to do any good thing, but rather have perfect confidence in him in all things. That's the life of the spirit versus the flesh. That's being spiritually minded versus carnally minded. That's what it is. And to the spiritually minded man, there is therefore now no condemnation. There is no condemnation. That means zero. Zero. The righteous, it says, are bold as a lion. The righteous are not afraid to confront or deal with any situation, accept any challenge. Why? Because they know God is bigger than that challenge. They know he's way bigger than that challenge. If he could take all the sin of the world on him at once for all time, what challenge is there that is too big for him? If he by one man could subdue and bring down entire nations, by one man, then what challenge do you face in your life that is too big for him? Stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief. Stagger not. God has had mercy on you and me. He's had mercy on us. He's washing away that reproach of unbelief and doubt and not standing in boldness and courage. He's washing it away, folks. He's washing it away in his blood. Just let him take it away. Just let him take it away. Let it go. And let it be replaced with a mind that is set on believing him, knowing that that which he has promised to you, he will even bring to pass. If he has called you to be an apostle, that he will bring the fullness of that apostleship to pass. If he has called you to be a prophetess, he will bring the fullness of that prophetess to pass. There is nothing that can keep him back from accomplishing that. But staggering at his promise through unbelief. Because he can't honor unbelief. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For you must believe. What is it in Hebrews 11:6? I will read it to you. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Not wonder. Believe that he is. Believe that Jesus died for you. Believe that God raised him from the dead. Believe that by his stripes ye are healed. Believe that his blood has the power to take away every sin you've ever committed. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, those that don't give up. Those that hope against hope, as Abraham did. And press in. And press in. The grace and mercy the Lord's extended to us just in these last 6 months is unprecedented in my experience. Unprecedented. Let us not grieve the Holy Spirit of God in doubting rather than receiving that which he is extending unto us, and that you've been seeing as the momentum has been growing over these months, as you've seen the Spirit bringing us together. Let us yield to that Spirit of God and have no confidence in ourselves, but perfect confidence in him. May the Lord bless you, folks. We're going to let the team out there in Texas play a few more songs for you. I love you guys. I'm going to be probably heading out to Texas on Monday. May even be there for service on Wednesday next week, I hope. And I'm going to be helping here with a couple things with James, and also here in South Carolina, being here for service this Sunday. Keep one another in prayer. May the Lord bless you. Good night.